Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, did the Astros play this offseason in free agency of Alex Bregman wrong? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the Texans, first practice where the media is allowed to see on the week is going, and some interesting things coming from what our friends and our various friends in media are seeing out there. One, Foley Fatukasi back in practice.
Well, that's
after
good.
He missed a few weeks. That is good as well. Christian Harris out there on the field. And I don't know if you've seen some of the video, but mm-hmm. I mean, looks like he's moving.
It looks like he's moving just fine. Yeah.
Which again harkens back to your little bet with Ron Hughley. See if he does indeed play this week. That'll be fun. Now, Kenyon Green, obviously at practice, both him and Christian Harris, they were, you know, designated to return back to practice. However, Juice Scruggs is not at practice. And so that is very interesting. Maybe that is part of the reason why Kenyon Green returns to practice. I don't know. But so you would think that maybe that would lean towards the possibility of Kenyon Green actually returning to a starting lineup mm-hmm. for the Texans. However, this feels like it pushes in the opposite. This is from Cody Stutes, who's out there. He acknowledged that the offensive line that they showed in practice had Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. Of course, still Jared Patterson at center, Shaq Mason at right guard, Titus Howard at right tackle, right? Those are the obvious ones. At left guard, Zach Thomas.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Zach Thomas, who was a player that they claimed off of waivers earlier in the season.
Not that long ago.
Actually, November, really.
Yeah.
So he previously played for the Patriots, and he was listed as a tackle, although he played a game for the Patriots at left guard. So, and he played a little bit of right guard in college as well. And so it feels like that very much feels like, all right, next man up when it comes to just holding mm-hmm. that position, and maybe, just maybe, it is still Juice Scruggs that remains a left guard going forward.
Interesting is the right word on this one, because part of you wants to say, part of me wants to say, well, that's not how it's going to end up by the end of the week, and certainly not in the game.
Sure.
Because you think, well, they'll bring back either Juice Scruggs, wherever he is today, or whatever he's doing, or Kenyon Green. They've talked about that. But another part of me is saying, you don't put a guy out there. We only have 3 full days of practice, you know, just for show, you know, to kind of send people off the scent. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just so maybe, Maybe that's part of the plan.
Oh,
here.
You want to add another name to the possibility of musical chairs here?
Didn't Nick Caserio name him by name earlier in the audio that we played? I believe it was cut two, Figgy, if you want to revisit that. Like, he named Zach Thomas by name. So all I'm saying is, if I had to pick, I would say, nah, it's probably going to be, you know, Kenyon Green or Drew Scruggs. But he's out there, and you only get 3 days of practice. It's not like, hey, let's just put him out there, you know, for now because the media's here and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we can kind of create more of a mystery as to who it's. No, you don't do that in the NFL.
Okay, so some interesting things there. Oh, you want to hear from Caserio, hear the name?
Yeah.
Yeah, that group has done a pretty good job. Really, since the Jets game, we've kind of shored up some things protection-wise, and we've been able to run the ball. So, you know, kind of see where we are adding Kenyon back in the mix. You know, players like Zach Thomas have gotten some different reps at different points. We've had a number of players that have kind of been in and out.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be a place to watch. Also, once we get an injury report after practice, that'll also be interesting and maybe insightful into what's happening and maybe why Juice Scruggs was not at practice today. All right. Did the Astros play this wrong? It's a question that you're asking, Lopez, when it comes to how they have handled Alex Bregman in free agency, because we know that there is an offer that was put on the table, which was 6 years, $156 million, which was clearly below what the market would actually be for Alex Bregman. And now, especially with Juan Soto off of the table, it feels very much like Alex Bregman is the desirable player, the one that a lot of people want. The Yankees have been attached to him. The Red Sox have been attached to him, which, mind you, the Red Sox are apparently finalizing a trade to acquire Garrett Crochet, one of the most desired pitching or pitchers in the league right now when it comes to the trade market. So he'll move from the White Sox to the Red Sox pending a medical phase or a physical. And Spo, our baseball insider, our Astros insider, said that he feels like it'll only enhance the chance of the Red Sox a pursuit of Alex Bregman. Why are you asking if the Astros play this wrong? And it seems like you might have an answer that is no, or yes, they did play it wrong.
Well, actually, you know, yes, they did play it wrong if they really wanted Bregman.
Ah, okay.
I think the right answer here, it could be they knew all along they were going to try to trade Kyle Tucker and we're not going to keep Alex Bregman. Because why else? Like, if they're offering him anything other than their best and final offer, you know, or at least one of their best and one of their last offers, why would it be 6 years, $156 million, when you knew what the market was going to be and it was going to be more than that? You knew he was going to want more years than that. You knew the money was going to be $20, $30, maybe $50 million more over the course of the contract. Maybe they just knew all along, look, we got to make an offer. Let's make it this. Who knows? And
we did get news of it, right? It gets into the media, and that is something that is a kind of a known play that the Astros will do sometimes under this management, where they go
They've
in.
They've done it before.
They let you know, well, we did offer, right? As if to kind of wipe their hands of the idea of, you know, not really having a strong pursuit. But here's the thing, like, every time, obviously, Dana Brown has skin in the game in that way of making sure that it's, you know, shown that they are, you know, trying to get something done. Scott Boras, as recently as this morning, was talking about the idea that they're having fruitful and extensive conversations with the Astros continuing. He even threw in a little corny thing about, you know, when it comes to AB, what comes next is C, which stands for championship. And so that's how you know Scott Boras is definitely in his bag in this moment. But
he's feeling it.
Yeah, it does. Like, even the agent is still kind of giving credence to the idea that, no, we're having these conversations. So I don't even know how much I lean into the idea that they didn't want to get it done. It just feels like maybe there are constraints that, you know, maybe ownership or what have you continues to place on how far they can go monetarily.
Yeah, but also, neither Dana Brown nor Scott Boras is going to say, nah, man, we out, if there's still any discussion at all. You know, so they're not. He's not going to say anything other than what you heard, which was quite creative, and neither is Dana Brown. All I'm saying is, if this was how they played it and they really want to keep Alex Bregman, then they played it wrong. You know, maybe they're just telling us, you know, we had to do this, et cetera. And that's why they made that offer. That's where I think it is. And then there's the Kyle Tucker thing. If you weren't listening earlier, the Yankees, quote, serious, or they use the word serious. So serious negotiations, for a trade that would acquire Kyle Tucker. You know, maybe they just like, look, it ain't going to happen. Let's try to make it look as good as we can. Maybe throw a little Hail Mary up there, and maybe he'll stay. But Chandler Rome predicted yesterday that Kyle Tucker would not be an Astro in 2025.
And he's continuing with that. Him and Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic reporting that the Cubs are having conversations about the possibility of trading for Kyle Tucker. The get back in that could possibly be Seiya Suzuki, the Japanese outfielder that is there. And in addition to the corner infielder, Isaac Paredes, which would be another one of those kind of, I don't want to say acquire lows, but he had an interesting season where clearly he was still pretty solid for the Rays. And then the second half of the season, he did not play all that well, especially offensively, for the Cubs, but I don't know how much I begrudge him that, because I don't know how easy it is to play well offensively for the Cubs in this season. But I know that the Cubs, in the reporting, they also talk about the possibility of, like, third baseman Cam Smith, who was Chicago's first-round pick in 2024 this year. That possibly also being another potential add. But when you talk about this, Seiya Suzuki, a kind of a player that you could use for the now. Isaac Paredes, right? Like, another player that you could use for the now, and the projections have him kind of, like, still being a solid, pretty good offensive player, like a good offense player. These still feel like moves that, of course, they are rumored, but if that is what they go with in acquiring back talent for Kyle Tucker, these still feel like they have the possibility of having some level of being some level good, right?
They make it easy for you to say the window is still open.
Yes.
They're that type of player. Maybe not Bregman, maybe not, you know, Kyle Tucker, but you can honestly say the window is still open because, you know, who knows, they have a great year or whatever. The thing about Bregman that I was thinking about this morning, not in the shower, but I was thinking about this morning.
It's a good place to think, man. I will not apologize for it.
You're going to miss so much beyond, you know, the on-field stuff with him. Like, Hunter Brown flat out said, Bregman pulled me aside, showed me some things I was doing, suggested some pitches I should try to lean on more. And then Hunter Brown turned his season around. You know, the other thing, Bregman is fluent in Spanish. I mean, some people may not know that, or at least fluent enough, baseball fluent in Spanish, which goes a long way in that clubhouse as well. And so, like, he's going to be a big hit. And are you going to get that from someone else in that clubhouse?
Yeah, and that's only just a small taste of the various things that have been said about Bregman. But ultimately, like, if you're not willing to meet the parameters of the money of it, like, all of those things have to have been considered. And right as of right now, the only thing that we know for certain is that 6 years, 156 was what was put on the table, and those still fit largely within the parameters that we know. They don't like going longer on the years, and they're likely not going to go up too high on the average annual value.
Yeah.
And with the market that is out there, if you're not willing to get your money up there, you might not have the services Alex Bregman, and it's becoming abundantly clear that those other options, those plan Bs, are showing up when you see the idea of maybe trading Kyle Tucker and bringing back somebody who can play in that corner infield spot. Or I mean, even Jorge Polanco was still out there, and I'm becoming a little bit more open to the idea, or like more comfortable with the idea that maybe Jim Crane is not going to step outside of that MO that he's established, and they go for another one of these, you know, buy low type deals, which Jorge Polanco would be, where he had a rough season last year. But can you rehabilitate him and get some better play? And then still you're leaning more on Alvarez, you're leaning more on Altuve, you're leaning more on Yainer Diaz, some of the, you know, Pena, the guys that you already have, where you can still probably win a division.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of like the real true championship window is probably closing. You're in more of a reset, retool situation.
I think another factor here is the fact that it is the Red Sox and the Yankees that are big time players for both a trade for Kyle Tucker and acquiring Alex Bregman. Like, those are teams, those are organizations. I mean, it's not like the Steinbrenner years in New York with the Yankees, but still, those are two organizations that not only are very willing to talk any amount of money, but they have a history of it, and they're going against each other. It's the Red Sox and the Yankees, sort of in a literal bidding war, you know, whether it's a trade or, and they don't want to lose to each other, you know, so that kind of eliminates Jim Crane as well.
And going further in that way, right, you're talking about the Yankees, and maybe this is just a feel, but like, hey, the identity of these teams, as you're mentioning, matters. And the Yankees have always been that team that, hey, man, you're going to have to go and take less money to not play for us. And I don't know if this is full embarrassment, but it's kind of felt like it when Steve Cohen put the put the checkbook on the table and was like, no, actually, I will outbid the Yankees.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does feel like the Yankees, maybe Hal Steinbrenner in his feelings, like, no, we got money. We not broke.
Yeah, see, that's a factor.
We'll throw this money out here. We'll sign Max Fried. You want some money? Come get some money, right? Like, maybe I do wonder if they're in that place now where they're like, no, we'll spend some money, right? And so
Max Fried, like, who, me?
Yeah. Right.
Is that for me?
I'm a broke boy. No. Max Fried, come get some money, right? Alex Bregman, you want some money? Come get some money.
Like, sure, that's for me?
Yeah.
I do wonder if they'll go to that place, and again, where Jim Crane would just generally be unwilling to go, because as he said, right, they want to contend, but they don't think that they'll go to places that the crazy was the word that will that was used there.
Yeah. And you know who goes crazy? The Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah, but how frustrating
they
will
go
it be?
Crazy.
How frustrating will it be to see Alex Bregman in pinstripes?
Oh, come on. Ridiculous. But it happened. I mean, hell, Wade Boggs played for the Yankees. Roger Clemens played for the Yankees. I mean, it's happened.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
I'll get out of here.
That's the perfect time for that. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah, we're continuing to watch that space. It does feel like things generally are heating up. We're hearing more and more kind of rumors, especially around Kyle Tucker. And it feels like, man, that dude is going to be moving sooner rather than later trade-wise. But I am interested in what the haul would be, like what the return would be, and how young talent, because they definitely need young talent, right? Or is it going to be young talent to fill the farm that gives you hope going even further? Or is it going to be kind of the young talent, almost like an Isaac Paredes, who's like 25, about to be 26 in this upcoming season, where it's like they're younger, but they're also still in that closer to that window of contention here.
Yeah.
Before we go here and get to the mixtape, Aaron Wilson is reporting about Juice Scruggs, who was graded out highly against the Jaguars, that he didn't practice today because of a foot injury.
There you go.
That likely happened at the end of the Jaguars game. He's expected to miss a few games and return this season. And he also makes sure to let you know that Kenyon Green is back practicing. So
Zach Thomas.
Yeah, so it seems like it is not is it going to be Kenyon Green or Juice Scruggs? You might ask, is it Kenyon Green or Zach Thomas? And that feels like it's just an easy answer, Kenyon Green, but we'll see how that continues to progress, as Zach Thomas was the man who was seen at the left guard spot at the beginning of practice. But it is Wednesday. There's still a lot of week to go, and we'll see what continues to filter out for the Texans. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, this is indeed the time where we turn over to our man Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, we're going to talk about black movies black people get upset about if you never saw them. And I got a list of them, and maybe we could get John to watch
I'll give you my
a
answers.
Couple of those movies.
Yeah, give me the top 10 or something.
Yeah, we want to get you to watch some of the movies. I know you ain't see all these movies. Plus, in honor of it being cold outside, I got some audio people just being cold-blooded.
Okay, some cold-blooded audio. We'll do it next. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. And yesterday, we talked about the TV show Family Matters, not the Drake song. But the TV show Family Matters and how it ranked with, as far as shows with black people and all that stuff. And it kind of, I ran across this clip. Shout out to Kev on stage. Very funny guy, in my opinion. He always come up with some good, funny topics. And he came up with this, man. Here's a question for Kev on stage.
The top movies that black people will get mad at you say you haven't seen.
Coming to America. If you ain't seen Coming to America, what is you doing?
Why are you alive?
Why are you here? What's the point of you?
Why, why are you alive?
Get the hell out, actually.
Get out.
Harlem Nights.
Yeah.
The blacks.
You was way behind schedule.
The blacks ain't having it.
Especially to be as black and as movie as you are.
But I see it now. But see, this is the problem. Even when you do the black stuff that you shouldn't have done, people just get mad that you...
You got to get thrown on the grill.
Yeah, you took too long to get there.
Yeah, nah, if you take too long to see a black movie,
classic,
then you still going to get roasted for this.
A classic.
I will say, Figgy, you kind of hurt my feelings going into the break.
What happened?
When you said you assumed that I hadn't seen most of these movies.
Yeah, no. Like, I guarantee, I'm glad you
brought it. I'm going to be completely honest.
Yeah, let's look through this list, man.
Yeah.
You got Boys in the Hood on here. I'm sure think you've seen that.
Yes.
Set It Off. Have you seen Set It Off?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one, man. hey, why is you alive, man?
Why am I alive? No. I ask myself that a lot.
Have you seen New Jack City?
Yes.
Good. Very okay. Nice. That's
a Friday, I'm assuming you've seen Friday. Menace to Society.
Sorry to say no.
It's solid. Man. Solid. You ain't see that?
Okay. Yeah. I've heard good things, but I haven't seen it.
You're going to have to check that out. Have you seen the movie Juice?
Nope.
Ah, you got to see that, man. What the hell is wrong with you, man?
Why am I alive?
Get the hell out.
This is funny because, like, there's clearly a really long list here. But this is just black movies. Like, we all do this, though. Like, there are so many films. And the reason why I know this is I am one of those dudes that just not seen some of these movies that people are like, how have you not seen this? Like, just in the break.
Yeah.
Because Cam on the YouTube said, 3 movies everyone needs to see. Menace Society, Paid in Full, Tombstone. I was like, I haven't seen Tombstone. And what did you say?
It's awesome. I can't believe you didn't see Tombstone. Yeah. I haven't seen Tombstone.
I mean, it did come out when I was 1 year old. But
does that matter?
I have not.
Some of these did.
You seen New Jack City.
Yeah, right? Some of these did.
Yeah, that came out before I was born, I want to say.
But, so what am I? I'm 2 for 4.
Oh, you're really counting the points on this?
I really am.
Yeah.
No, 3 for 5.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Yeah, you saying Above the Rim?
No, 3 for 6. Above the Rim, yes.
Okay. Paid in Full?
Yes.
Do the Right Thing?
Yes.
Poetic Justice?
Nope.
Not a Tupac fan. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Dead Presidents?
Nope.
Oh, you got to see that, man. What's wrong with you, man?
Are we just going to do this? You're just going to, Lopez, you got to watch all of these. You have 2 weeks to watch all 50.
Give me a couple more.
Here.
I think I'm going to be over 500.
I'm going to just scatter through these.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, while you're scattering through, I want you guys to text in. What are the movies that you guys have not seen that people have given you hell about?
The one I haven't seen, still to this day, I haven't seen it. Belly. I never seen Belly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but isn't Belly basically just like a really long music video?
But everybody back in the day is like, you gotta see Belly. I couldn't get past the first part, man. Yeah. It just looked so. The production.
Oh, you didn't like the view, the look of it.
Yeah,
it that was just, that's the appeal of Belly.
I just couldn't get into it, man.
Fair enough. Touche.
So you're gonna bounce around with a few more?
Yeah. You seen Hustle and Flow, right?
Yes,
you
seen Hustle and Flow.
You look like Hustle and Flow.
Yeah,
guy.
I've seen
what
Hustle
is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. House Party. You seen House Party?
Didn't play.
I don't think so.
You haven't seen House
Party?
What?
Yeah,
what?
I don't
what
think
so. What the hell is wrong?
I know.
Right. Okay.
Come on, man.
Get out of here.
Think he's getting hot.
Now, Waist Deep.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Waist Deep.
I wouldn't put that movie on the list, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Love Don't Cost a Thing.
Nope.
Jason's Lyric.
Nope.
Oh, you haven't seen Jason's Lyric, man.
I think I'm doing okay.
And by the way, hey, Jason's Lyric, that's a hometown thing, right?
Yeah, I know.
There, man.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
And they actually doing a play about that. I think I seen it from the Houston Chronicle that Alan Payne is performing Jason's Lyric on stage. Crooklyn.
Hell yes.
Okay. Belly.
Nope.
Oh, we talked about Belly. Soul Plane.
Yes.
Okay. The Best Man.
Nope.
Mo Money.
I think so. What is that?
That's a Wayans Brothers.
Yes. I know which one. Yeah. I've seen Mo Money.
Okay. Why they got Moonlight on here? You don't have to see.
I'm good on Moonlight.
Yeah, you ain't got to see that. They ain't like a black.
Yeah.
I mean, but Oscar winning.
I'll tell you this. I'll just go through I'm looking at the list now. I have not seen pretty much all the other ones on the list except for Love and Basketball. I saw that.
Baby Boy? You seen Baby Boy?
I have not seen Baby Boy. Coming to America, of course. Brown Sugar, of course. White Chicks, of course. Drumline, I've seen. Pretty much everything else I have not seen.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well, Harlem Nights I've seen, of course. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
It is very fun. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Della Reese, amongst a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. This is very fun. I want to do more of this. Keep letting me know the movies that you have not seen, that people have given you hell for, because from the 832, 36 years old, never seen any of the Godfather movies.
Oh, wow. That's almost impossible.
I know people were whooping your keister. Oh, my goodness.
You almost watch it by accident at somebody else's house or something.
Yeah, but out of all these movies, I want us to pick a movie for John to watch.
That I haven't seen.
That you haven't seen. Let's do it like a little top three.
Okay.
Movies. You should watch it and
you
come
tell
back
me.
And bring
Y'all tell me top three that I haven't seen that I've mentioned.
You said you've seen New Jack City, right?
I have seen New Jack City.
Okay. You say you've seen School Days?
I have not seen School Days.
Mm. I feel like School Days is a good one.
Okay.
Let me write this down.
I was thinking, I feel like Juice is one of my favorite movies. You got to see Juice.
Yeah, put Juice on
School Days, Juice.
Yeah.
That's a homework assignment. I like it.
I mean, we about to be on a plane. Although I'm gonna be reading a book on the plane. I'm gonna be that guy.
Oh man!
But I haven't been able to. I bought like 5 books since the last time I actually finished a book, mm-hmm. and so I'm really you know, digging a hole here on this reading list that I'm not getting to at all.
Yeah, another movie I think you gotta see: Players Club.
I haven't seen that.
You got to see the Players Club.
I haven't seen Players Club either.
Oh, what? Wait. What? Oh.
Oh, you don't want me to actually answer these?
Hey, I expect that from John Lopez.
I'm telling you.
You never seen the Players Club?
I'm going to be real disappointed. I'm going to turn this disappointment elsewhere. For the 281, they said I was the only white guy when I went to see Barbershop. Also, I haven't seen Top Gun. I hadn't seen Top Gun until maybe 4 years ago.
Really?
Or so. I think y'all might be doing a lot. Although, the action scenes, incredible. Like, I think...
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That,
and you, Top Gun is even better.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm going to do? Tomorrow, I'm going to do all non-black movies that people get upset about if you haven't saw. Because I have not seen Top Gun either. I just couldn't get into
it. So, Juice, I'm writing them down.
Juice.
That was a good one.
Sorry. School Days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, School Days is one I want for sure.
And Players Club.
Okay.
Okay, very good.
All right, cool, man.
I'm on it.
I'm glad that I don't got
3.5 hour flight.
Yeah, I'm glad that I don't have homework right now. Somebody said Baby Boy is one that we should make him see.
Yeah, that one. I'm surprised you ain't see that on accident. That used to come on.
I'm familiar, but I've never seen it.
Well, on what channel was he watching?
Well, BET.
Come on now.
Yeah,
yeah. As we all know,
John's more of an MTV guy.
Get out of here.
BET stays on John's house. TV, we know that.
Or Telemundo guy.
Yeah. Well, man.
What are you doing? Okay,
occasionally. Occasionally.
All right, so since it's cold outside, man, I wanted to get to some audio that I feel like people was just being so cold at. So Brendan Williams, who played in the Brendan Haywood.
Yeah,
he played in the NBA for some years, and his last season was with the Cavs in 2015, mm-hmm. and he played with LeBron, and he was telling a story about how LeBron used to coach up his teammates on the Cavs, and whenever he ran across somebody that wasn't really coachable,
mm-hmm.
he just like done with them, kind of send them out
like they're dead to him.
Yeah, and this happened to Dion Waiters. Remember Dion Waiters?
Oh, yeah.
Waiters Island.
So mm-hmm. apparently Coach LeBron couldn't coach him up, so he turned it to GM LeBron and traded his ass out. And this is Brendan Haywood telling the story.
Dion and Lawrence, he had to go. So they traded him.
Yeah.
Cole Bud. He's from Philly too.
Yeah. Dion. Yeah.
They traded him in Philly in the middle of the national anthem. True story.
No.
That's crazy.
I promise you. I mean, we're looking around and
he didn't even play?
Huh?
He didn't play that game.
I mean, hell no. He got traded
in the middle of the national anthem. They went and yanked him out the lineup. They cut the lights. They start singing, "Oh, Say Can You See?" And we see security walk out of there and grab like, "Hey, you, get out of here." You know, like what? In his hometown, his whole family sitting there in the front row, Meek Mill, everybody.
Damn. Meek
Mill. Hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Y'all thought I was finished?
My man got levicted, man.
That's crazy.
Finding out you're getting traded in the middle of that national anthem.
That makes it worse, man.
In your hometown of Philly, where your family sitting in the crowd.
I know you had to pay for tickets for people to come and watch the game.
Yes.
You done warmed up. You did all your stretching. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's get the game going, actually. Yeah,
party started, party over.
You have a plane to catch, friend.
Yeah, get out of here.
Man. I've seen players like baseball, especially come off the field.
Yeah. No,
but that middle of the anthem
in his hometown. that was cold. Was that cold? That was cold blooded.
Yeah, very cold.
Yeah.
Another one, Joey Porter Sr., who played with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. His son currently played for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's right.
Joey Porter Jr. And they were on Hard Knocks last night. And,
oh, I forgot about
or,
that.
Or was it last night? It might have been.
No, it was last night. Last night, Tuesday.
Yeah. And
I know I was forgetting some.
Yeah.
And Big Joey was talking about how much he hate the AFC North.
Oh, wow.
He hate these teams in the AFC North. Let me know if this is really cold-blooded, how much he hate the AFC North.
It's way more intense than anybody can speak on it. Like, it's literally from the time, like, I don't even eat in Cleveland. I never eat in Cincinnati, and I never eat in Baltimore. Like, they could just forget about it. They talk about the good crab in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I ain't never had it.
Is well, that hate? Is that
yes,
hate?
But is that, what does he eat on the road trips?
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask, like, is that beef or is that for protection purposes? Hey, is that because he's gonna be hated so much that he's like, hey, I don't know what y'all gonna put in this food, so I'm not eating in this town.
He probably bring a lunch. He probably have
packs his own. He's a lunch pail guy.
Yeah,
that's typically mean what they mean when they say it. Yep. That's exactly what they mean.
Yeah, he probably bring a sandwich and a bag of chips and a little juice box.
That sounded real to me, man.
Yeah, no, that's 100% real.
That sounded real
to me. I don't even know if you have players like that in the NFL now.
Yeah. I won't even eat in your city.
Yeah, that despise the team so much, I ain't even eating here. Like, I'm staying in a hotel, Joe Kim Noah style.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that. I don't know what I hate so much that I would deny myself food just to prove a point.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
Yeah. All right, the last one, I'll get y'all out of here on this. Mike Brown, who is the coach for the Sacramento Kings,
mm-hmm.
Actually had a really good win on Sunday. He pretty much blew out the Jazz. I think it was like 141-97.
Mm-hmm.
And this was him after the game, and I want to see if y'all kind of understand what he's trying to get in our brains.
You just need to be methodical by stacking or playing the right way, possession after 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 possession.
What else?
After possession. After possession, after possession, after possession, after possession, after possession.
This is not Luke.
After possession, after possession.
Your radio is still working correctly.
After possession, after possession, after possession.
I thought that was a scratch on the record, like back in my high school days.
There you go.
Gotta move the needle. Gotta move the needle.
Hey, he wanted to make it clear, man.
That's just a stupid bit.
Sometimes you got to run out the clock on the
after
on the
a win.
You just got to run out the clock on the presser, man.
It's just that's exactly what
I'm not answering.
He's
no
doing.
More questions, baby.
You said, y'all get what
this.
I'm saying now?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. It sounded like back in the day when I was in high school, you had to move the needle when you had a scratch on the record.
Yeah.
Okay, shout out to Mike Brown, man. Like that.
No, shout out.
Shout out to Mike Brown. He was like, "Look, I'm going to make this point, and I'm going to commit to the bit." That's what you got to do. You got to commit to the bit. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That was Figgy's mixtape. You hear at 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. Hit our guy up at the Figgy Fig on all social
on
media.
On everything.
If you see anything that you feel like is worth being in the mixtape. Coming up next, we get ready to hand it over to the guys of The Drive, Clint Ron. They're getting ready for their broadcast. But before we get there, what are you excited for? How excited are you for NBA Cup quarterfinals, Rockets, Warriors? We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, I hope you've had a wonderful Wednesday to this point. It'll continue on as here shortly we'll be talking to our fellas on The Drive, Clint and Ron. In fact, they've got a fun show coming up for you. A little bit of appointment listening, 2:40. Cecil Shorts will be on with them fine folks.
All right.
So you definitely want to check out the homies later today. And I'm interested, like, how plugged in will you be for Rockets-Warriors quarterfinals of the NBA Cup tonight at 8:30? It's happening at Toyota Center. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be watching? How plugged in are you on that? We'll talk about that here more in a second, but I did want to circle back around and in case you did not hear. At practice today, obviously the first one of the week that the media was able to get a little bit of eyes on, Kenyon Green, obviously back at practice. Juice Scruggs? not. He is expected to miss at least 2 weeks dealing with a foot injury that happened at the end of the Jags game. According to, I think Aaron Wilson had that first. Mm-hmm. Jonathan M. Alexander's confirmed it as well. This out of nowhere, you have this. And to add a little wrinkle to all of this, if you were just thinking, well, that means Kenyon Green immediately slides in at left guard. Maybe, but not certainly, because yeah. at the start of practice today, the starting offensive line that we saw included Zach Thomas at guard, I guess listed as a tackle, a man who was claimed off of waivers early November from the Patriots. He had played a single game earlier this season as a left guard for them then. So I believe that was week 3. So yeah. this is really interesting what the offensive line is going to look like against the Miami Dolphins.
Just kind of changes the entire expectation. We didn't really know he was injured. Apparently it was late in the game against Jacksonville. But you got to believe that even though, you know, Zach Thomas, he's only been here just over a month.
Yeah.
At the most. So they got to have more confidence in Kenyon Green, even with the warts, you know?
I personally imagine so, but I think that that's something we'll have to see as this goes along. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. One of the reasons why I was saying that they probably go there also is that you look at the actual defensive line mm-hmm. of the Miami Dolphins, and I go, they have not generated a lot of pressure. But this is another one of those things where you kind of get a weird anomaly sometimes. Chop Robinson, who is an outside linebacker, he himself has generated a lot of pressures. Which is like the fourth most since week 8, even though the entirety of the defensive yeah. line does not generate a ton of pressure. So that's going to be an interesting space to watch, is like that one particular guy versus the entirety of the offensive line. But it does feel like maybe mm-hmm. that guard position is not in as much peril as other instances where you have like this big, strong defensive tackle that's really going to put the clamps or put the squeeze to mm-hmm. the interior of the offensive line.
And even beyond that, They've got to protect C.J. Stroud. Doesn't 100%. Matter. You know, the good, not good, average, or whatever, that's going to be a big problem. And I just think it sounds weird to say, given, you know, his protection issues were what really I thought was going to bench him. They got to have a little more confidence in Kenyon Green.
I think so. 7-1-3. Yeah. So that's why they said that there are going to be some changes.
And Christian Harris.
Well, yeah, Christian Harris was out there. Yeah. He looked pretty good. But, of course, I mean, there's one thing to look good on air and those things. It's another thing to be kind of NFL game ready. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that looks. In fact, we might chop that up in a minute
yeah.
with the man that you have a little bit of a bottle of wine mm-hmm. on the line for mm-hmm. on whether or not he plays. But how pumped, how locked in are you going to be for Rockets Warriors tonight? This is an opportunity to break a very long streak of losing against the Golden State Warriors, 15 games to be exact. And this is, as Adam Spillane was talking about earlier when he joined us. Again, thank mm-hmm. you to Adam Spillane and Brian Kelly for joining us early in the program. But Spo was talking about this being like, this is one of the first few times that you have for the Rockets to play in one of those island games, in a game that really matters, maybe almost playoff-like environment, and in front of the entirety mm-hmm. of the NBA watching world.
This is that's a factor. I think also a factor is, you know, even if it weren't the NBA Cup, Emirates NBA Cup.
You really need to make sure you gave Emirates that plug, huh?
Not really. Okay. I didn't care. I just wanted to get it right. But I would be interested no matter what. But it's just more interesting to me because it's the Warriors and the streak and all that. So it's kind of hard for me to say, oh, Emirates Cup or NBA Cup. Let's watch it. Let's see. Yeah, that's a factor. But I just want to see this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a good game.
That's fair. Like, if you like hoop, this is one of the better ones that you have. Was it the Mavericks getting a win? No, definitely wasn't the Mavericks getting a win yesterday. It was the Oklahoma City Thunder getting the win over the Thunder or over the Mavericks yesterday. So the Thunder are who would be waiting for the Rockets mm-hmm. if they get a victory in this one when they go to Vegas for the semifinals. But again, you have to get through this one. And I'm real interested in this one in part because I know we've seen this defense a lot. It continues to show us that it is really good. Mm-hmm. This is one of those teams that shows that they have a type of offense that it feels like can really get at this defense. And admittedly, they held that offense to under 100, to 99 points when they played the Warriors in the other side of this trip earlier. Yeah. Was that this weekend? Mm-hmm. What was it, Thursday of last week?
Yeah, but then they struggled.
But that was also a game that did not see Draymond Green or Steph Curry. What does it look like with those guys playing? And I guess the more important thing is, are you able to find offense against a team like the Warriors? Because, yes, as you mentioned it, right, they only scored 93 points in that. They did struggle offensively. Are they going to be able to get into those moments where you know, in those big moments, funneling through Alperen Şengün as a hub at the high post, is that going to be consistent? Or is Jalen Green going to have a game in this instance? I think all of those are interesting. Plus, if you have been asking, where is Cam Whitmore? He has been recalled to the big club. So we'll see if he gets any time. I can't imagine so in like a high leverage situation. Yeah. I don't know that they go expanding the rotation as opposed to somewhat narrowing it.
No.
But that's another kind of small additional thing to watch in this.
I don't know if they're going to include him very much or not. I think you call him up for a reason. He's been playing pretty dang well, but that's beside the point.
And if he does play, that will be, I would love to see it. I would love to also get Ime Udoka's kind of thought process on it. Yeah.
But I also think, you know, we're sitting about here talking about, well, is Jalen Green going to be that guy or that guy? You know, which Jalen Green are you going to get? Şengün as well. Kind of shouldn't be that way, right? I mean, you need to have your guy that you can count on every night is going to do a certain thing. And that's what the Warriors have, you know, and say what you will back in the day of James Harden. I mean, you knew what you're getting out of him every night, you know, and that's the level that they're still trying to search for.
Yeah, man, there's been actually some questions, and I don't know that I fully, lean into this line of thinking that, oh, is Jalen Green being held back by Fred VanVleet or just kind of that usage? Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with that kind of framework, but yeah, he's going to need to, like, he seems like he is at that point and where he is suffering from what a lot of volume kind of scorers suffer from, where it's all cool when we just see the numbers when you have an opportunity to score at volume. When you need to do it in a more efficient way, then people kind of get mad at him. I think recently, I think of Donovan Mitchell was a dude who kind of suffered for that, where he was kind of he was a volume scorer, and people were like, oh, this is all cool. And then they're like, hey, we need you actually to score more efficiently. Now he figured that out, and I do think that I don't know that I want to compare him directly to what Jalen Green is, but I do think that might be some of what we're feeling is like, hey, now being more efficient would be helpful in a context for a team that has some aspirations.
Yeah.
And this will be another test for them against the Golden State Warriors. So NBA Cup 8:30. I will be interested to see if we can even sit down to watch it, because we have the company Ugly Sweater Party.
Ugly Sweater Party, baby.
And how bad will it be if I dip out early, just to make sure I see Tip of this
one? Ah, you'll be all right. I'll cover for you.
Okay. Do I have to Irish goodbye and go into the restroom and then go watch this basketball game?
That's the move. That's the move.
All right. Very good. Welcoming in the guys from The Drive, Clint and Ron, as they get ready for their broadcast. Ron, I would love to direct this first question to you. How are we feeling after seeing the guys out there on the field when it comes to the little wager that you've set up with our good guy, John Lopez here?
Christian looked a little better. Looked like he was moving around.
Yeah.
Looked a little spry out there, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. That's all right, though. I still stick with my guns of D'Amico. We want to give him a weekend. Just a hard one for me, man.
He was lined up on the drill next to Henry Toa.
I know he's lined up on the drill. It's hard for my man to miss three and a half, 4 months. Come back on the practice field and get right on the field against the Dolphins.
No, you're not wrong, but he will.
Okay. All right. Remember that.
I'm waiting on that Cayman.
Nice bottle of wine on whether or not Christian Harris plays.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Okay, so yeah. I might as well tell you on air.
I know we on air, but we ain't got time. I just need a story.
Yeah, no, it's apparently last night there was a power outage, and there might have been something that happened.
Just a little electrical fire, that's all.
Yeah, something like that. So it definitely smelled like it, and that's why we got this door open. That's why we got this fan going. Yeah, but yeah. It wasn't nothing did in here.
I'm about to be high as a kite.
Yeah. Well, we left the door open.
That's not exactly what's going on in here. But okay, so the guys on the morning show were having fun listening to a little bit of audio from you guys yesterday, and I just want to make sure I get this clear. Ron has not had a gingerbread cookie. Clint, have you had?
Yes, I've had. I thought I was responding in a way of like, I haven't had any of those that are in the the kitchen.
Got you.
Yes, I've had gingerbread. I've had gingerbread cookies. I've tasted gingerbread multiple times. I actually love gingerbread.
I like that you're saying this like somebody like the gingerbread council is defending, coming for you.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't. You know,
apology.
I misunderstood. I misunderstood, I guess, the question or the topic of conversation there about the cookie. I thought we were talking about those specific ones with that icing on top of it over there. Because I'll be honest with you, it was hard to turn it down yesterday. I'm on about a six-month run of being really, really disciplined, boys. And and when I'm doing that, usually I'm not even tempted. Mm-hmm. Those tempted me.
Ooh.
That white icing.
I think he ate six of them.
Well, Figgy better get his ass to the gym.
No, he said they were delicious. That's the point. No, I'm not picking on Figgy. I'm just saying.
Never have.
He said they were delicious.
Never had.
Figgy better get to the gym.
Yeah.
We did not. We didn't have the tradition of making gingerbread houses in my house. So I've never had gingerbread. So.
Is that something that you like? You get to a point where you're like, this is a novelty that I'll just keep up for the bit, where you're just not going to have it, or are you interested in seeing what that's about at any point?
No, it's just, I don't even know if it's, I just ain't around it. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not even a bit. Yeah. It's just like, I'm not around gingerbread cookies.
A lot.
You know what is a tradition for me? You know that blue can? That got all them butter cookies.
Oh yeah.
Those are great.
That's good. And then when you
those
get done,
are great.
You get done with them.
And become a sewing kit.
Your mama's sewing kit.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Aren't they called like Donsk or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
That's the cookies I know.
Those are great, by the way.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm a fan of them.
Yeah. If you like those, I feel like you would like gingerbread. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be completely honest.
Nah, I don't know.
I feel like I'd judge you if you didn't like gingerbread. Like, you don't have to be in love and be like, I can't wait to have another one, but like, not like gingerbread?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's...
Well, my take is there's no such thing as a bad cookie. There's some that are better than others, and there's some that I won't necessarily pick first. But a cookie? I mean, who doesn't like a cookie?
You can tell you the one I piss folks off with?
What's that?
Ooh, let's do it.
The old Thin Mint.
You're not a fan of Thin Mint?
Yeah. I hate them things, too.
Ooh, a little bit of cookie.
Oh, my God. That's my go-to.
Chocolate and mint ain't supposed to be together.
My wife as well. I'm not...
That's my go-to, baby.
Anything with coconut, nasty.
I don't need chocolate while I'm brushing my...
That is fair. I feel like that's the note that I need to leave off of. We're done In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We leave you
about it
with the drive. You're listening to KLT, KLT HD 2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, the drive is indeed live.